Hey, this is a Healthy Atlanta with Normani Ricks. I am your co-host, J.R. McNair here, and we are so excited to be here on a rainy day in Atlanta. So we have some amazing people that are on today doing some great things in the Atlanta community. I'm very excited. You know, when Normani was telling me the cast that we had on today, I was like, man, that's some great things. We're going to talk about some really good things, the work that they're doing, how they're changing lives, and how they actually came about doing what they're doing. So Normani, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, great, great. I'm very excited about today's show.
Well, that's amazing. Listen, I don't want to hold you any longer. Go ahead and introduce these great people that are sitting here with us today.
Okay, we have Dr. Corinne Therapy, who is a pharmacist and also a fitness coach, life coach. We have Ms. Pam Yonker, who is the community development officer for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And I'm super excited to have these two powerhouse women in front of me.
Yes, let me tell you something. I know personally, just here in Atlanta, we have some of the best healthcare systems, I believe, in the nation. And we have some amazing people that are leading those charges. And, you know, it's just great. Let's get into Dr. Pam, and how did you come about doing what you're doing? I mean, just give me a brief history of how you got to where you are today.
Well, it's kind of difficult to get there quickly.
Okay.
I have an accounting degree from the University of Georgia.
Okay.
And I started out as an internal auditor.
Okay.
And I did work with Lockheed. I was senior auditor at Lockheed. And then I started my own accounting and tax service. And then eventually became vice president of an engineering construction firm. And I had been there 10 years. And my husband and I had a conversation that I wanted to do something that mattered for the last chapter of my business career.
Okay.
And I received a phone call from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And they needed somebody who knew the community. I'd been involved in the community for many years with the Cobb Chamber of Commerce and Honorary Commanders and Leadership Cobb and a lot of other organizations in the community.
Okay.
And I thought, this sounds like a great opportunity. And I interviewed and they hired me. I've been here now 7 years. I love every minute of it because I get to interact with the community. I get to interact with patients and patient families. And also tell other people about Children's. And that's my main thing, is to educate. I really want people to know what we have here in Children's Healthcare. 3 hospitals, 20 neighborhood locations. Last year we had enough patients that came to see us that would fill the Truist Park Stadium 28 times.
What?
That's how many times we would fill it with our patients. We service all 159 counties in the state of Georgia. And we don't turn a child away regardless of the parent's ability to pay. So it's really important that people know that, and that parents know that it's the pediatric choice. Other hospitals may say they do pediatrics, and they may do a little bit. But if you come to Children's Healthcare, your chance of getting a pediatric specialist is 100%.
Wow. I'm going to say something to you, because I've definitely... When we live on the south side of Atlanta, and anytime anything comes up with my kids, I drive down and I find it, because I'm like, you know, it's important that people understand and it's commonplace, the type of people that they service. Okay, you have a regular doctor that's spending all this time with adults and they might see a child, but it's not that frequent, right?
That's right.
And so, you know, that's why I love that. And I'm in another example that was really close to my heart. I do some volunteering work at a lot of high schools, and I was at a high school, Mount Zion, and a guy, he like broke or dislocated his arm, like broke his arm on the field. And we were there, and before his mom came near in the ambulance, and the coaches was like, okay. And then the ambulance said, well, we can take him here. And I said, no, you need to take him, I said, down to Children's. I said, because especially when you're dealing with something like that, we need specialists who know how their bones are still growing. You know, that's extremely important.
It is. And children are not just little adults. They're still growing.
That's correct.
They have needs that are much different than adults are. My cousin, who's a pediatrician, will say to you, don't waste valuable time. Go straight to Children's. Like for that young man, They may have taken him to an adult facility and then transferred him to us. That would have wasted valuable time. Or he would have stayed in the adult facility. We want to make sure every child gets to us because we believe every child deserves children's.
No, that is exactly right. And the fact that you come from, that construction background, we have a manufacturing company where we manufacture stuff, but you came from that background and came in. When you were there in construction and doing the things you were doing in the construction community, were you all out in the community meeting people or that just was part of the business? I guess in construction, that was part of it.
That was part of it. My job was the communication, the relationship building, and that's what I view myself as. I view myself as a relationship builder. I'm a ground tiller.
Yes.
And my husband calls me a dot connector.
Okay.
I like to connect the dots between who needs children or who needs anything that I can help them with. I also work a lot with the military. That's another thing I'm passionate about.
Oh, wow.
But I do love to be able to help people get whatever they need for their lives.
Yes, that's amazing. And, you have some of the same things that's dear to my heart. I was just with a major yesterday for 3 hours sitting, speaking with him about he just had a new baby and him and his wife and they they're just getting acclimated into Atlanta area. So I know that when they need something or something happens with their kids, I'm gonna be like, listen, make sure you go to Children's because, especially with military families coming into the city, they may not be as familiar. With the hospitals and the services that are in the community.
Right, or urgent cares and all those different facilities that we do have. Right now we have 150 airmen deployed from Dobbins Air Reserve Base.
Wow.
And I was able to be there along with some other community people to talk to them before they left and make sure they knew we would take care of their families while they were gone.
Wow.
We want to make sure that all of our military people know that, and we will be there for them and for their families.
That is amazing. And so now in your role, because community development officer, okay, so what does that entail? That sounds like very big, and it probably is very big. So just let us know what that
entails. It really is very big, and you can't really write it out.
Okay.
I wish I could tell you this is what I do every day. And when people say, what's a day look like for you? I can't tell you. Yesterday, I met with a group of folks who want to do some volunteer work with us and help us with putting together some food packages for our patient families while they're in the hospital. Mm. After this, I'm going straight to Eggleston to sit with one of our families whose child is having heart surgery.
Okay.
So, and I might be speaking to a group, like I'll speak to a group on Thursday night this week, and I go and I like to go and educate people again, whether it be PTAs, schools, Lions clubs, Kiwanis clubs, chambers of commerce. I love to talk about children's and give them a nugget, because today, everything I say, you won't remember it all.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a nugget of what I have said and mm-hmm. take it home, then I have done my job.
Totally.
Like, for instance, we do 400 clinical trials in pediatric cancer.
Oh, wow.
And if you think about St. Jude, who you hear about all the time, they do 50.
Wow.
We do
that
eight,
dwarfs that.
We do eight times the clinical trials of pediatric cancer. People don't know that. Our cardiac unit, the Sibley Heart Center down at Eggleston, we see more patients in that unit than any other hospital in the United States.
Wow.
We have the largest inpatient rehab center for children.
Mm.
People don't know those things because we're a not-for-profit, so we don't have the money to spend to go out there and do so much. So that's where people like me come into play. I will go and talk to people anytime, anywhere, if I can educate, if I can get help for our kids, help for our patient families, and help for the community as a whole. That's my job.
Yeah.
Can you talk some about the Marcus Autism Center?
Okay, we do have the Marcus Autism Center. That's part of children's health care, mm-hmm. so people don't really know that. So we treat more children with autism than any other place in the United States. We do the most
wow.
research. Now, couple that with down at our Hugh Spalding Hospital, which is by Grady. It's only a 27-bed hospital. We do the most sickle cell disease research in the country.
Wow.
Who knows that? Not many people. But we have world-class researchers in a lot of different areas, whether it be autism, sickle cell, heart, cancer. We run the gamut, but we take care of every child. And if you ever meet our folks who work for us, They are incredible people. They care about the children. They care about doing the best for them. They're always, always going to do the very, very best that they can.
I think I read that you guys had a preschool program that was starting.
We have a preschool program at Marcus.
Okay.
That we do, because what it is, it integrates our community with autistic children.
Okay.
So we do that. We don't have that anywhere else. It's just in that one location.
You know, that's, I love that, because I speak to people all the time about children that have autism, and they're trying to figure out ways to service them. And it's not just when they're at school. It's after school. It's before school. You know, it's just not a lot of practical information that you can apply. And so going to a place like the Marcus Center is probably a great place for parents to just be educated on how to properly serve their children.
It really is a great place. It's a great place to go. Sometimes there's a nutrition issue, because autistic children will maybe only white, things that are white, or things that are a certain shape, and they have to relearn that. That's just one part of that. But there's a lot of the gamut of autism. So it takes a lot. But not only do we have that facility, but we provide education out in the community and also resources. So if you wanted to read about what we do to help autism, or what can you do for your child in a certain circumstance, we provide that kind of educational information.
And, you know, my son, he was born, we have twins, and he was born with a cataract in his eye, like a white cataract, and it was rare. And we had to go down to Children's, and I had a specialty doctor that performed that surgery, and he was one of the best in the nation, but he was right there. And before he retired, we had the pleasure of having him perform that procedure for my son. And so it was, it's life-changing things like that Children's does, and we greatly appreciate that. Now, what I would like to know is, if someone wanted to get involved with Children's, if someone wanted to actually get in touch with you or get in touch with Children's, how do they do that?
Well, we have choa.org, mm-hmm. which is our website.
Okay.
And you can see there a lot of things we offer, volunteer services, a lot of that. However, my contact information, I'll be glad to provide that.
Sure.
It's pamela.yonker@choa.org. pamela.yonker@choa.org. You can reach out to me. I always answer my emails. But if groups want to do things, like last week I had the Kennesaw State University American Medical Women's Association chapter came to our outpatient care center. We have a community room that we let people use. And they came and they put together distraction bags. And those bags have like crayons, coloring books, things that kids can pass the time away and be distracted while they're waiting.
Yeah.
We have groups that come in, like Comcast Cares came in last year. And
okay.
They fed our staff up at our town center urgent care and our outpatient care center. And they also packed meal bags for our patient families, because when you go into a hospital, it gets expensive with food, and while we have vouchers and such, still, if we put together these meal bags that have like a whole day's worth of food in them that you can heat in the microwave and that kind of thing, it helps. So we do pajama bags. We do hygiene bags, because another thing that people don't know, last year we treated 600 victims of domestic and sexual abuse. Mm. There were children, 600.
Wow.
And they come to us, and they don't have anything, and we have a wonderful child advocacy center. They come there, and we try to provide for them hygiene bags, and we provide some clothes and some other things for them. So we do so much, and because insurance doesn't cover any of these things, that's another reason why my job is really important, so I can go around and talk about this is why we do what we do, and this is what we need to reach out to these families.
So, Pam, we want to celebrate you. So, can you please brag a little bit about some of the awards that you won over your career?
Oh, that's very kind of you. Well, I was the Marietta Citizen of the Year. I was named that last year.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I'm Alpha Chi Omega named me a Real Strong Woman Award. That's an award they give every year. I was at Alpha Chi Omega in college. I've received the Best of the Best award for Dobbins Air Reserve Base.
Okay.
And I do serve nationally on the Air Force Chief of Staff Civic Leaders Group. I'm one of 27 people across the country that does that. So those are just a few. I really don't like talking about myself on those, but I don't do it for the awards.
Right.
I just do because I want to serve my community and serve my fellow man. But above everything else, I want to be God's instrument here.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And let me say, your works can speak for themselves and the things that you're doing. And that's amazing. What I want to know is because all the things that you all are doing, helping the community, offering these free services to the community, not turning children away, making sure you're connecting with veterans organizations, all these amazing things that you're doing. I have two things. Number one, if somebody wants to get involved with giving or trying to contribute, how do they go about doing that? I mean, what is an average amount that they can give? I mean, is there an average amount?
Any amount helps us, any amount. And you can go on choi.org and go to the donate button. But let me tell you this. 105 years ago, a lady named Bertie Wardlow sold pencils because she wanted to start a hospital system where every child could be taken care of.
Mm.
She sold pencils. When I speak to elementary school students, I tell them this. No matter if you think it's a little bit or a lot, whatever you do helps us. So any amount helps. Of course, we love big, big gifts.
Yeah.
That helps us. We're building a new hospital that's going to open in 2025. We're going to replace Eggleston Hospital with a new hospital at I-85 North Druid Hills Road.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, we're looking for major donors for that from corporations. Everybody can give something. The little boy down the street can have a lemonade stand. I have kids who have birthday parties and bring us their birthday gifts.
Oh, wow.
And they have a birthday party for children's. I have kids who do, I had a little boy who did a thing at a barbecue restaurant, and the barbecue restaurant gave us 10% of their proceeds that day for this young man, Jonathan, because he wanted to donate money to help our sickle cell patients.
Wow.
So anything helps. We take, you can go on our own online and do whatever amount you can.
That's great. So one last thing. What is the one thing that you said, that nugget that you want to leave in the minds of the people here? What would that be about children's?
Every child deserves children's.
Okay, great. Well, I like that. That's short, sweet, to the point. So I appreciate it. Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Normani, now, that was an amazing interview. Lead us into this next great person that we have here so we can keep this train rolling.
Okay, this is Dr. Farabee. She is awesome. I had one conversation with her about a week ago that almost changed my entire life.
Wow.
She has some amazing nuggets as well. So, Dr. Farabee, kind of tell us about what you do.
So I am the CEO and founder of Trinity Wellness RX Consulting. And basically, I've been a pharmacist for the last 14 years. And then recently, about a year and a half ago, I decided to get certified as a personal trainer because I had been diagnosed with lupus.
Mm.
And I no longer felt like I could work the 13-hour shifts and be on your feet, for an extended period of time. And I felt like I was missing out on life. And so I wanted to do something different. And so I decided to move into entrepreneurship. But in working in pharmacy, we were always taught that you help people figure out how to take their medications, why they're taking their medications, and to keep them compliant on the medications. But as I experienced my own health issues, what I realized is that I wanted to help patients figure out a way to come off of medications.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that always comes back around to nutrition and exercise.
Totally.
And what you'll find is that a lot of doctors don't educate patients on that. What they educate is, okay, you have a disease state. You're probably going to have this disease state for the rest of your life, and these are the medications that you need to take.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to develop a program that helped people, really empower them to take control of their own health and do that through exercise and nutrition. So Trinity Wellness, basically, we have clients that come and we look at the entire profile of the patient. So we look at the medications that they're on. We look at their disease states, their medical history, their relationship with food, their relationship with exercise. And then we come up with a program that helps them to decrease the amount of medication they're on. And that includes an exercise program as well as nutrition recommendations.
So let's talk a little bit more about this relationship with food.
Absolutely. So what I've noticed in dealing with clients is many times it's not that we don't know what to do. It's that we have a certain relationship with food based on our history. So like I had a young man the other day and he told me that he doesn't eat vegetables. And I'm like, well, why don't you eat vegetables? Like, you know, you're supposed to eat vegetables. You're actually a senior at Morehouse Medical, you know, so you know to eat vegetables. And he was like, well, I just never ate vegetables. My parents never cooked vegetables outside of like green beans, basic peas and collard greens. So when we started to talk about like asparagus and Brussels sprouts, that's foreign to him. You know, so we really have to spend some time educating people on other options and let them know that there's other things out there.
And, you know, said, let food be thy medicine, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that our bodies are some of the most amazing things that I think are on this planet. I mean, you know, our bodies can just naturally heal itself if we give it the right things, food, water, rest, mm-hmm. keeping stress down. Right?
Yes.
Our bodies can heal themselves. Talk some more about that.
So I'll tell you from my own personal experience. So when I was diagnosed with lupus, I actually was diagnosed with a lupus that affects my kidneys.
Oh, wow.
And it was to the point where they wanted to put me on dialysis. And I was like, oh, no, I have two small kids and a family. Like, I cannot be on dialysis. And so I completely changed my diet. And one of the things I did was I reduced the amount of sugar that I take because sugar causes inflammation. Mm-hmm. And then I also took away meat. Mm. And so now being on a plant-based diet, I went from taking 14 tablets a day, which was what my doctors had me on, to now only taking 2 tablets a day. So you're absolutely right in that food heals your body.
I've seen a lot of people who were diabetic, who have been able to go off of most of their medication or mm-hmm. at least part of it from just diet. Absolutely. And and so how, let's talk about, you know, you spoke about something about plant-based. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Because I you know, you hear vegan, you hear all this stuff, but let's talk about just really what plant-based means.
So plant-based is eating foods that are actually that plant-based. So you have different levels. So we have people that consider themselves vegetarian, we have people that consider themselves vegan, but neither one of them eat meat. But vegan, you don't eat any meat-based products either. So you wouldn't eat eggs because they come from chicken, you know, so things like that. So, but we've advanced so much when it comes to food. So even if you are vegan, it's nothing that you can't have. You know, there is an alternative for pretty much everything that you would consider that you would want as part of your diet.
Okay, that's great. So how did you switch and what, you know, to switch from being in pharmacy to just say, hey, I'm going to do this wellness. And then not only to do that, you work for yourself.
Absolutely.
And so it's the difference coming in, working in an institution and very formal in that manner, and then saying, hey, you know what? I'm just going to switch kind of my traditional education trajectory and go into something else. And not only do that, but I'm going to launch my own company.
Absolutely. So it's really a mindset, you know, and at some point you have to decide, do you want to give 110% to someone else or do you want to give 110% to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because regardless of whether I work for a major company or I work for myself, I'm still going to take care of patients because that's what my passion is. And so as I decided that, okay, I wanted to move into entrepreneurship, I started looking at what I did every day as I worked for the larger company. And I said, I can do this for myself, mm-hmm. you know. And so I just started to transition. I made some decisions because that's really what it's about, making the decision and moving on it.
Sure.
And so I made the decisions. I put some dates in place and I stuck with them. And the other thing that was really important in my decision is that I had a coach.
Okay.
You know, you have to have that accountability partner.
Sure.
Regardless of what you're doing, whether it's the transition into entrepreneurship, whether it's working out and exercising, eating right, you have to have some level of accountability.
You definitely have to have accountability, and that's something that really pushes you forward and keeps the momentum and traction.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of your services and some of the things that you provide in your wellness.
So, like I said, we look at the entire patients. And so the first thing we do is we look at the medication profile. Mm-hmm. And we look at the medications and see, okay, are these medications that you actually need to be on? Because we find that patients, they go into the hospital or they go and they tell their doctor, hey, I have reflux, and they put them on medications and they never come back and take them off. Mm-hmm. And they really don't need them. And before you know it, a patient goes from taking 2 tablets a day to 14 tablets a day. So we evaluate the medications that we're on, and we see if they need to come off those medications. And if they do, we prep the patient to have that conversation with their doctor, because a lot of patients don't even know how to go in and address that with their doctor. If the doctor says they need it, they take it. Mm-hmm. And then also we do nutrition recommendations. So we look at, based on the goals of the patient. Mm-hmm. So if they're diabetic or they have high blood pressure, we make recommendations as to nutrition, what they should be having in their nutrition daily, and what they should maybe consider moving out. And then thirdly, we do an exercise programming. So it's custom for each patient, and it's based on what the patient has available to them. So if you have a gym membership, some people have a gym membership and just don't know what to do when they get to the gym. Mm-hmm. Others, they've never been in a gym at all. They never exercised. They don't have any equipment at home, or they may have just the basics like a jump rope or 5-pound dumbbells. And so based on that, we come up with an exercise programming. And I was telling Ms. Normandy that everything is done through an app. Mm-hmm. So on the app, it shows them what exercises to do, how
what
often.
What is that app?
So the app is called Trainerize.
Okay.
Okay, but so it comes as a package. When
okay.
you purchase the package, you get the app as well.
I got you.
But the app will show you which exercises to do, how often to do them, with what weight they need to do them, and it'll show you a demonstration as well.
Okay, that's great.
And then so based on the exercise, then you can say, hey, you know, that was a little hard for me, or, you know, I'm just not able to do that exact exercise. And then from there, I can show you modifications, and we can, you know, we come up with the best program for you.
That's great. That's great. And so once they've gotten, how do you, you know, in just in your professional opinion, what should people probably focus on primarily? Is it, should they look more so to say, hey, I need to make sure I exercise every day? I mean, because sometimes stuff goes lacking. You know, we're in a world where things just happen, right? Mm-hmm. So what would you advise if it would be someone say, hey, you know what, I can eat all my meals correctly, or make sure I get into the gym that day? And maybe it's you know, I know it can be both. You want it to be both, but if you were to prioritize them.
Yeah, so the thing is, we're human, so we're not going to do everything correctly all the time. So the goal is to create a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
You know, so, and within a healthy lifestyle, we're all going to have setbacks, you know. And so even with my clients, I encourage them to eat healthy most of the time, but then have a cheat day, mm-hmm. you know, so then you don't feel like you're depriving yourself, you know. But then, because you'll find if you eat vegetables 5-6 days a week, it'll become the norm.
Yes.
You know, so I do feel like nutrition is like that key component, but I feel like the goal is to get to a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
Can we talk a little bit about work-life balance when you're talking about a healthy life?
Yes. So that is so, so, so important. And that was one of the things that helped me to make the decision to transition from that corporate America life into entrepreneurship. So I do have 2 small kids and a husband at home. And what I realized is that I was not present, mm-hmm. you know, because you work these long hours and then you come home and you sleep and you get up and you do it again. And so I had to figure out how to have a balance, because that's what reduces that level of stress.
Sure.
And stress kills. Absolutely, it does.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
You have to figure out how to reduce the amount of stress in your life. And for me, that was a big thing, because even though I would go to work and I would give 110%, I would be so stressed out while I was there. And I feel like that was some of the things that contributed to my illness, because once I decided to, you know, change my lifestyle, but with the stress included, you know, removing that level of stress, my illness completely changed the way it looked.
So tell me, how can people get in touch with you? I mean, if they want to reach out to you, take advantage of your services, let us know how we can reach you.
Absolutely. So you can go to drcoreentherapyconsulting.com, and on there you'll see the nutrition, the exercise, and the medication therapy. You're more than welcome to sign up for a consultation, and then we can go from there. And then, of course, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Corrine Farabee and Facebook at Trinity Wellness RX Consulting.
Great. Could you spell your last name?
Yes, it's F as in Frank, E-R-E, B as in boy, E-E.
Okay, that's excellent, excellent. And so this is the last question that I have for you here, is now that you are an entrepreneur, okay, you've had some learning experiences, correct?
Absolutely.
So tell us, what were some things that you learned from being an entrepreneur that maybe you didn't know beforehand? And then also tell us one of your, like, big triumphs that you had since you've been an entrepreneur.
I think for me, what I've learned the most is the value of networking.
Okay.
When you work for
relationships.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because when you work for corporate America, they do so much of that for you.
Mm-hmm.
They really just want you to come and get the job done.
Sure.
You know, it's not really about building the relationships, but when you work for yourself, you absolutely have to build those relationships. And I, you know, it's weird because I really considered myself an introvert.
Okay.
Prior to moving into entrepreneurship, but I'm really enjoying the process.
That is excellent.
Yeah. And the thing that I would probably say that I am enjoying the most is probably just being able to not only have a business, but share that with my children.
That's excellent.
So that they can understand the option of entrepreneurship.
Sure.
You know, as a child, I was taught you go to college and you get a job. And, you know, it's so many other options out there.
It's so many options with the popularity of Shark Tank and all these.
Yes.
it makes people say, you know what? Because we need people solving problems in all areas, you know, and we need people that are that choose to go the college route, because we need good doctors to work on us, to prescribe, mm-hmm. to do things. But we also need people, on the other hand, who are in the business community who can say, you know what? Here's a couple $1 million to continue doing the work that you're doing, you know?
Right. And you said something so important, solving the problem, because mm-hmm. that's really what it is. You
that's
know,
right.
you can create a business doing anything as long as you're solving someone's problem.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think you all came here and solved a lot of problems for for all the guests in there. I mean, all the radio listeners that we had today. And listen, we appreciate both of you all's work. You know, Atlanta is a better place, and the state is a better place because of you all. We appreciate you all, and keep doing what you're doing. Just know that you got cheerleaders and fans on this here cheering for you all the way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, most definitely. And Normani, we appreciate you. Thank you for bringing these phenomenal people in here to us today.
I hope you guys had an awesome time listening. And this has been A Healthy Atlanta with Normani Ricks.